Hi, I'm Greg Ayers, and this is the Absolution Network.
Hey there, this is your old buddy Tom, the Toonami Operations Module. Settle in, it's about to get good. Toonami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Whenever you're ready.
Welcome to the televised revolution. As we drift through outer space aboard the Absolution. With Tom back in active duty as captain. In charge of bringing superior anime action. Yeah, you came to the right place. If you have a taste for animation in deep space base. Broadcast through your television. Due to the progress of the Bring Back Toonami Twitter mission. The same block that brought us Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z is back. So stay tuned. I remember way back, never leaving my room. I stay glued to my TV weekday afternoons. Yeah, and thanks to Adult Swim, I have a reason to use the TV in my room again. Cause every night I'll be tuning in. Since they going back to showing Action Tunes again. Toonami's back, bitches. Wait, did you say Toonami's back, bitches? That's the official hashtag if you missed it. To celebrate Tom's return to television. Yeah, Toonami's back, bitches. Wait, did you say Toonami's back, bitches? That's the official hashtag if you missed it. To celebrate Tom's return to television. Welcome to the Anime Action Fan Sanctuary. With Tom providing that slick commentary.
Hey there, my Toonami generation, and welcome to an Absolution Network special. I am, of course, your primetime host and captain in the Absolution chair, Thomas Primetime Mattis. And this is the Anime Next 2013 Convention Special. Yes, I am back from Anime Next 2013. This year I spent 3 days as opposed to one. Stayed at the hotel there. Enjoyed all of the going-ons and fun. And of course over to hopefully the next week or two. You'll be seeing more content. You'll be seeing a video or two, along with photo albums of the wonderful cosplay I took at the convention. There's so much to talk about, as I'm going to get into in a second, because we also had panels, so I want to go over how those went to you. I want to go the general feel of the con and how it went, because I always give my grade to conventions. Sometimes convention isn't that good. Wizard World Philadelphia 2012. Maybe that has some reason why they didn't want me back. I had some issues with the convention, and well, you don't talk about issues with the convention on air, apparently. Then again, maybe that's comic book conventions, not anime conventions, because Lord knows if that's true. Why the hell have Gene and Crispin asked back to Anime Boston with some of the stuff they've said about it? But that's a whole story right there. But, yeah, actually, I didn't get to go to Wizard World this year. They denied press for me. Again, in there, right, not that I'm complaining about it. Probably for the good concerning my money options. So I got to focus all my money on Anime Next, which, yeah, like I said, I stayed at the hotel this year. The hotel, by the way, wonderful. Though it does kind of remind me a lot of the hotel I stayed in for ShadowCon. I think maybe a bit more spacey than that, but I think the general the same. In fact, I think it's the same hotel train, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, stayed there for 3 days and nights. On the full days of Friday and Saturday, I stayed up to 3 a.m. in the morning. Or should I say, I didn't get to go to sleep till 3 a.m. in the morning. It's probably more appropriate. And found myself strangely waking up at 6 a.m. full of energy. I have no idea why. Of course, I had gotten a bit more in shape for the convention. I'd been on part of a rigorous exercise and diet the past 3 months before the convention. And of course, found I lost about 50 pounds. So, you know, I was well in... Well, not completely in shape for my body, but more in shape to do a vigorous walking back and forth, and Lord knows I hope I lost more weight. But, you know, on to the Anime Next 2013. was probably one of the best conventions I've gotten to go to in a long time. It was just incredible. I mean, there were some incidents here or there, but what convention doesn't have incidents? Nothing, though, that really took away from the con. When there was an incident, especially in the cases where there were incidents because of panel stuff or that stuff, or press, the staff, especially for press and for the panels, did an absolutely wonderful job of having me to take care of it. Unfortunately, one of the things that happened at this con, but there's a lot of change in the time, both, when somebody was getting interviewed, and of course, changing the panels, which did lead to a conflict with one of my panels and interview time, as I'll get to in a second, because I'm actually quite proud of that panel, or at least what I was able to accomplish in that panel, I should say. But, even with all those, the staff was friendly, inviting, understanding, and just overall, they pulled off an absolutely terrific convention in my mind. Maybe I should start to... Day one, I woke up. The morning dew was rolling off the leaves. No. Did the drive up on Friday, of course. God hates me, so he's going to send a tropical storm to try to flood out the events. Didn't quite work. But, drove up in the rain, got to the hotel, was able to check in early, which, really, again, I commend the hotel, though I never did get my cookies I was promised. Not that I need them, and that's a whole different story. Not those type of cookies. Gene, get your mind out of the gutter. Anyways. But, got to check in early, which, of course, led me being able to relax for a little bit. And because I had gotten there about, I would say, 7, I got to relax for about an hour and a half till I had to really kind of make my way down to where the press was. Now, it's basically to explain Anime Next's sort of layout. It's technically in the Garden State Expo Center, which is connected to the DoubleTree Hotel in why do I look on a Summerdale? I believe it's Summerdale. It's in that Rutgers, New Brunswick area. I can't believe I'm blanking on the name of the city. But anyways, the hotel sort of has a class sort of L shape to it.
Fuck you.
Whatever you think is best, brother. Or at least sort of small L, long one way, and then sort of like a point. Though it extends a little bit further than that. But it's connected to the Expo Center with this walkway. You walk down the steps, or you can take the elevator to the double lobby, which is basically this long corridor that walks right onto the path, and there's this covered path that you walk down with a little bridge over the little creek, and you're at that point you're officially in the area that is the Expo Center. And the Expo Center is a sort of good size Expo Center. About a more medium size. I mean, to walk end for end would probably take me less than 3 minutes, but still, again, that's walking with nothing in my way just to get from the one end to it to the other. With, like, nothing there and everything. It's not even 3 minutes, like, minute and a half, to be quite honest. But, again, you get my point, I think. And of course, in the convention center, that's where they had the dealer's room, Artist Alley, the main event stage. And of course, that's also where registration was. The initial room of the Expo Center, which is this nice carpeted room, is where registration was. And then on sort of the floor of the convention center, which is more concrete, that's where, again, dealer, Artist Alley, and the main event was. So I, of course, went there, get my press. The panels, mind you, by the way, are held in the hotel on the first two floors. On the first floor at the very far end is the ballroom, which actually has three two panel rooms, one of which is huge enough that it can actually split up into two, which is what they did. Again, we're going to get to that in a little bit, because there's a situation that involved that. And that's where those, that like the big main panels are sort of held, especially the ones that need like the use of projectors and that stuff. That the other ones don't have projectors, but there's like small little sort of workshop panel rooms on the second floor. Now, for the sake of understanding, I did four panels. Toonami, A Celebration of a Generation. Absolution Network presents Absolution Theater. Goldeboy. The Evolution of American Anime. And Thundercats. And, the first three I mentioned, again, were in those big panel rooms. Two of which in... the panel rooms that could be split into two. And, in fact, two of them in the same room, actually. But, the Thundercats was held in the workshop. Now, actually, there was a sort of... Again, that's getting... Well, it did happen on Friday. There was a mix-up in sort of the room numbers that was, like, last minute that... because of that, a lot of people didn't get to the Thundercats. But, of course, I'm getting my head off. Like I said, I got my press and quickly made my way because I was one of the first panels of the day, which was the Toonami panel. And my God, this panel was excellent and amazing, and so many people showed... I don't think I've had more people show up for a panel. Probably the second one is the actual Evolution of American Anime panel, which, again, was Saturday. But so many people showed up for that panel. I had people bringing me donuts. I never had anybody bring me donuts. Here I am, a man who's been on a diet and hasn't had a donut in at least 5 months. And I have somebody here. Donuts. Heaven. It was awesome. But we had fun. I gave out some... The only thing I regret is that I was the idiot who forgot to bring the camera down. I wish I would have recorded the panel so I could, you know, sort of present it to you. But it was a great panel. We talked about the history. Of course, we had DJ Kartnova, Supernova, Mega Mix playing in the background. But, yeah, I mean, it was excellent. We had so many people show up, and we just had fun talking about Toonami. We talked about our favorite shows, we talked about our favorite moments, and we talked about shows we'd like to see coming in the future. One of which, and I still haven't confirmed this to at least my preferred ability, one of the shows mentioned was Sword Art Online, which I apparently hear is going to be on Toonami in August. I don't know the complete truth to that. I do want to bring up one anime that was brought up in that show, or actually in that panel. Somebody had made mention of Attack on the Titans, which at the time I have not gotten to see. I heard it was good, and I wanted to see it. I actually got to, as of today, got to sat down and watch the first episode. Now, I'm going to say it right here. The art is beautiful. It's, I mean, the Titans are just frightening. I don't know if maybe this would be an anime that we'd see on Toonami. The reason I say that is, especially the end of that episode, that's going to have to be censored, if it does, by the way, because it's just, it takes a lot to leave me disturbed. I have seen a great many things in sort of entertainment properties over my lifetime. I have watched Geiger. I have watched the very creepy zombie scene in Heavy Metal, not to mention the creepiest zombie scene in Night of the Living Dead. I've seen things in Evil Dead, and it just... I've seen gore of all types. There's a lot of stuff I've watched that has not left me disturbed. At the point I'm getting to is, if you leave me disturbed, yeah, you may have crossed over the line, because it takes a lot. And I just found the ending of that first episode, I'm not going to give away spoilers, But there's just, I'm just going to say there's a gruesome death at the end of Attack of Titans, the first episode, that made me bewildered. It made me feel like I was being manipulated, and it just felt over the top. And Attack of the Titans is in that category of Berserk, and it's really for those fans who like Berserk and want their anime a certain way. And I know that's getting off track from the convention, but I just wanted to touch on that because that was one of the things said at the panel that I hadn't gotten a chance to watch and didn't feel completely right to comment on completely, all other than I heard it was very good. But now that I've gotten to see the first episode, there's things that would need to be censored for that show. And I'm not talking in the sense of fan service. Because Lord knows you knew there were three shows I actually suggested when we talked about shows you like to see on Toonami. They were Ikitosen, Hero Man, and Tenshi Muyo War on Geminar, which is a show I might review in the coming weeks. I really had a good time watching it. Moving on, like I said, the Thundercats panel had a couple people, but they sort of filtered their way out. Didn't have enough recording so for a full review, so that review is actually not going to happen. I may do a full Thundercat review at another time, maybe in August. Again, that was probably a lot more due to the fact of there was a lot of people being confused by which room number was which on the second floor. And again, and apparently a lot of this came from like printing errors. They changed the schedule apparently, from what I heard, quite a bit after they already sent the guides to print. So there were situations where people didn't know what was happening. For instance, my Toonami panel was supposed to be at a later time, but they realized that they like put two of my panels at the same time, so they moved the Toonami panel to 10 o'clock, which replaced a Pokemon panel, of all things. And so a lot of people there were for Pokemon, but said, hey, it's Toonami. Toonami fits with Pokemon. Let's come on in. Outside of that, the first day, outside of the few mistakes there, and, again, it just being rainy because of the tropical storm.
Fuck you.
And again, I still walk back and forth. Let's just put it this way. A lot of people were using the double lobby to walk out instead of walking down the steps, though a couple times I did have to when I had to get to a place. Of course, I went to Artist Alley, got a couple of things, some great pictures. There's an artist who you'll see, hopefully on the video. I'm going to get his Artist Alley segment out in that video, named Yuri Kun, who, again, I also got a commission from. He does wonderful art. I actually have a commission from him that I like got online on Christmas from him, or at least that I commissioned him at Christmas and eventually got. Got to go in the Artist Alley. Wonderful art all around. The dealer's room made me cry because if I had still had the money I had saved up that I didn't have to use on bills because of our current living situation, let's just say I would be coming home with a $150 per mega high perfect grade 3 foot tall wing zero that I'd have to put together with a screwdriver, or at the very least a tall geese and a sand rock to complete my Gundam wing. Tall geese, Epion, and sand rock, I should say. But didn't really go to any events. For the most part, I didn't go to any major events or sort of much in the way of guest panels. Wish I kind of did, but again, I was spending a lot of time going back and forth taking pictures, for you guys, and going to panels and taking care of, website stuff. And again, it is exhausting. So there were some times where I was just sitting up in my room relaxing because, it's a long walk back and forth. Or at least it gets tiresome. Saturday came around. I had a sort of nice continental breakfast at the hotel. continue to walk back and forth. There was a sort of situation that happened with my third panel at the convention, which was the first panel for Saturday that I hosted. Again, it was the evolution of American anime, and it was in the ballroom. And that was going to be at 1 o'clock. They had scheduled the Greg Ayers, interview at 2, which, again, no problem. All panels usually are or at least supposed to be wrapping up around, 50 or 10 till, and I would get out of there. And where they were holding the interviews, it wouldn't take me more than 5 minutes to get to from the panel room to the interview. But then they tell me, well, you have to be there 10 till 2 to interview, because that was the rule that they had. Anybody who wanted to interview because of the tight schedule they're keeping, which is understandable. And of course, which led me getting the okay to, ask if I could end my panel a bit early, which I was given the okay. They were fine, which is as long as I did the full panel, which I fully could. So I went to go and start setting up for my panel about 10 minutes before 1. Well, again, remember I told you about that big ballroom that could be split into two different panels? Well, that's where one of that panel was. Well, the panel at 12 o'clock was the AMV contest. Or at least the voting for the AMV contest, which means they were showing all the AMVs as part of the AMV contest. Well, the AMV contest ran about 10 minutes over. So I had to do the whole Evolution of American Anime panel in about 30 minutes. Which I did, and you know what? Nobody left. I had multiple people, by the way, at the very least half full. Tons of people came to check out the panel. I'm very thankful for all you. I'm sorry you got the shortened version of it. But did the panel, explained the whole theory of animation categorization. Hopefully some of those people are checking out this site and everything. And I look forward, hopefully, to next year getting to do the panel in full. But from there, you then had, of course, the interview with Greg Ayers, which was round robin style, which went excellent. I had, of course, an interview later today with Uncle Yo, which was hilarious and excellent. But from there, for the most part, went around taking pictures. Kind of just reminded myself, I forgot one moment on Friday. On Friday night, there was two things that happened night. There was the dance, which actually was being held in the ballroom. Mostly because in the main event room, they were holding, which is sort of their big event. So it's an 18-plus event. The cosplay burlesque, which I went to. God, that line was long. And mind you, I say this because I understand why they have police there and why they're checking IDs. I'm not going to get into that discussion because that's a long discussion. And considering a certain story that came out of Anime Next, if you've read some of the new stuff that appears on Crunchyroll, as my email on my phone goes off, I don't blame them, but long line. Probably took them about a half hour longer, or they were a half hour late just because they were checking everybody's ID. But I've never seen such a police force, for that matter, at a convention for a certain panel. It just amazed me. But I went to it. The cosplay versus was fun. I have enough confidence in myself as a man to say that probably the best dance at the burlesque show was the gentleman who did a dance out of his Doctor Who outfit. I am confident in a man to say that. That probably also got some of the most cheers. By the way, the burlesque show was, the theme was themed around Borderlands, too. So there was a lot of Borderlands 2, along with other cosplay. I was expecting a bit more sort of showmanship. I think it's, that's maybe the wrong word. Let's just say that it was filled a whole lot more with, it was mostly just sort of the dance acts. And again, not that there's anything wrong with it, but like there was one act that was basically a guy whipping flowers. Like, you know, sort of a sort of circus-esque type of act. I would have thought I would have seen more sort of circus-esque acts. There was one other one, but it was sort of combinated with a dance, and I thought I would have seen more of that. But, you know, overall, it was a good... if I had to compare... The closest thing I probably found I could compare it to was probably the chess match show from Metricon. And to be quite honest, I think I would prefer the chess match. Just, I think maybe I'm a more of an action-oriented guy, which, I know it's strange. Wait, Tommy, the fan service ecchi guy prefers action chess match over a staged 18 and up show where, you know, people undress? Yes, I do. Let's move on. Again, not giving any way. Again, it's not that I did it bad. It was a wonderful show. I think I just wanted more action. And again, that's part of the reason probably why I didn't go to their version of the chess match, because as I heard from them, it was basically them moving cosplayers and chess pieces. And apparently they do some sort of mock combat, but not that much. Not like they do at Metricon. Metricon does it like nobody else. They really do. If you've not seen the Metricon chess match, you don't not know what you're missing. But getting back to Saturday night for that matter. Again, spent the rest of the day taking pictures after my last interview with Uncle Yo. So night came, and that's again when the more adult panels happened. And of course, I actually had my fourth panel scheduled during that time. I rated as a 17 and up panel. I apparently was like the only one who didn't have to check ID badges because, well, what I was showing is 17 and up. That's right, Golden Boy, if you've seen it before, is 17 and up. Yep. That happened. They don't show anything that isn't, you know, X-rated, if you've seen Golden Boy. But, you know, it was during that time. Actually, I'm not going to go into too many details, but before actually my panel, I went to one of the video rooms, because at a certain time, they switch their video rooms to show, shall we say, more 18 and up content, shall we say. And I was in a room that was packed with 50% boys and 50% girls, and we were watching it. I'm like, I can't believe I've never experienced this at a convention. Oh my god. Oh my, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm laughing, by the way, with the rest of everybody, because it's absolutely hilarious. And we're throwing jokes, and I could not help myself. Screen goes to black, and in the episode, I go, next time on Dragon Ball Z. Oh, the room lost it. We had a grand time in there, but about near the end of the second episode, the particular one they were showing, shall we say, I actually had to leave for my panel. Went to my panel, hooked up real quickly, and we had a fun time. It was a 2-hour panel. We showed 4 episodes. My god, we were just... You know what? In fairness to all the people there, we had fun. We were throwing jokes left and right. It was just a blast. It went to 2 hours. I mean, because... I say that because, you know, we were throwing jokes, but at the same time, it's Golden Boy. So you sometimes have to just sit there and accept the jokes that write themselves. Because let's be honest, there's a lot of jokes in there that write themselves. But, you know, that panel was just absolute fun. And, you know, by the time that panel ended, it was close to 2:15. Made my way upstairs. Actually, sort of funny event. Not a funny event, but a sort of situation was going on as we were getting out. Apparently one of the service elevators, not anyone holding any con guests, but apparently one of the service elevators had stalled. And so the fire department and the police were there at that point in time to take care of the situation. Again, they took care of it quietly. It wasn't a major situation. It was one of those things that happens. But, you know, I got to go to sleep with, you know, red and blue lights going in my window, which was fun. I felt like I was falling asleep at the rave. But, you know, third day, quiet day. This is where I unfortunately have to tell you, I had one more interview that day, and I went to go interview again. It was part of Ron Robbins, Sayo Yamamoto, who was the director for Lupin the Third, A Woman Called Fujiko Mai. Now, I went and I did the interview, and the interview was just amazing, and I can tell you right now, it's one of the greatest experiences of my life, just because it really opened my eyes to maybe the different way the Japanese think. You know, I've always known that, you know, Japanese and Americans have always thought differently, but, you know, just, you know, I'm thinking one way, and not that I think my way of looking at A Woman Called Fujiko Mai is different, but it was just, it opened my eyes to maybe how different she was seeing what she was doing with the anime as opposed to what I was doing. Now, the reason I bring this up is because, unfortunately, my recorder decided to be a bad, bad boy. And, yeah, there was a problem with recording. And because I have such respect for the director, I just don't feel comfortable releasing audio that's damaged and you know, it cuts all over the place and could possibly change her answer to something that doesn't sound right. And so, unfortunately, I'm not going to have that audio for you guys this year. I really hate that. I hate the fact that my recorder did that. I don't understand why it did that. And, you know, it's not like that for the other audio, which you'll be hearing in just a little bit. But that unfortunately happened. But of course, that was something that I discovered a couple days later after I've come back. From there, you know, I just finished off the convention by going and taking as many pictures as I could. And overall, that was, again, the convention. Talking on cosplay for a little bit. The cosplay was excellent this year. I think the three big sort of well, the two big ones, without a doubt, were Fairy Tales and Sword Art Online. Those were the sort of big ones this year. There were some other, you know, other ones. Now that I've seen Attack on the Titans, I now realize that one of the pictures I have, that's what, there was this big group of guys and they basically were cosplaying from Attack on the Titans. I had no idea what they were cosplaying. I just thought they looked cool. They were all under the tent. I took their picture. But now that I've seen the first episode and seen I've seen the same things that they had on their side, I now realize where that's from, which is amazing. But there was just, I think what I love about this year was just the variety. So many wonderful different things. There was a good number of Yokos for some reason that I found, and which of course means I took their picture. And you will see it. You know, again, sort of just all the, you know, Ryus, all different fighting characters from Morgana, the Ryu. Of course, there was Deadpool, and there was a Tony Stark. There was Harley Quinns and Jokers and Nightwings, and there was Superman and Supergirl. So, all the records, but just, I think, a great variety of new characters from, you know, like Fairy Tales, from Sword Art Online. I mentioned the Attack on the Titan cosplayers, which were just amazing. A good number of different, like, furries, honestly, which I just found amazing. My Little Pony. I'm trying to think. Of course, Zelda and Link were there. There was a Cutie Honey cosplayer there that was just absolutely amazing. There were some Wreck-It Ralph cosplayers, including, and mind you, there was a King Candy there. Cosplay was dead on, but he also had the voice. It was, oh my god, dead on. Now, he was the second best cosplayer at a convention. I'm going to get to the first. Because the third best cosplayers, and I'm being very partial here, were all of the Daft Punk cosplayers that came to the convention. Because there were a couple of them, and they all had excellent helmet designs. I'm being partial, being a fan of Daft Punk. But again, just like the Devo guy last year, just for the credit for being the Devo guy, he got a point for me. But the cosplayer of the year for Anime Next 2013, from my view, was the Barbarian from Skyrim. And if you were at Anime Next, you know who I'm talking about. There's a gentleman there who was a Barbarian. I will have him on video, so his full name will be told to you on the video. But, because I had got him to sort of welcome you guys. But, you know, he's a Barbarian from the Skyrim video game. I also have pictures of him. But just like the King Candy guy, this guy was just in character. And every time I saw him at the convention, he was talking to somebody, just being epic. And that's why he had the best, because he fully engaged the character and was epic. Oh my god. Just the best cosplayer Anime Next 2013, as far as I'm concerned. Again, that's just my way of looking at it. But, you know, for the most part, that was Anime Next 2013. With that, I'm going to turn it over to interviews, because I do have a couple of interviews. First, you're going to hear Greg Ayers and the two questions that I got to ask him. Because, again, it was a round robin, and there was a couple of people there. And so pretty much everybody got to ask just two questions before time ran out. But then after that, I had my Uncle Yo, and only me and one other person showed up, so I got to do about a 15-minute interview with Uncle Yo, in which I kind of make a fool of myself based off a George Carlin joke. I'll let you hear it and laugh at me hysterically. But, so here are the interviews, and after that, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to give you my final view on the convention, whether it's success or not. We'll say our goodbyes. And that'll probably be it for the show. So, without any further ado, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to jump right into interviews.
In the decade of the 1930s, even the great city of Cleveland, Ohio, was not spared the ravages of the Great Depression. In a time of fear and confusion, a character emerged that would entertain and inspire millions of children and adults alike. He began not as flesh and blood, but as a simple line drawing. His comic book adventures thrilled millions around the world. The magic of radio gave to his name a breathless signature and sound. Then with television came a whole new generation to idolize his exploits. In the 70s, the world believed a man could fly. In the 80s, he was reborn in the comics, and the 90s saw his death, rebirth, and marriage. In the 21st century, he returned to the big screen and saw his origin changed and retold on several occasions. Through the decades, he has gone by many names. The Man of Tomorrow, the Last Son of Krypton, the Man of Steel. His strength is incredible. His name is legendary. His battle is never ending. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. My name is Michael Bailey, and I host an internet radio show called Views from the Long Box. Superman is my favorite character of all time, and in 2013, he is turning 75. Because of this, a large portion of the episodes this year will be about the Man of Steel in a series I'm calling
Superman at 75, the celebration of a legend.
I'm going to mark Superman's birthday in fine style by examining all aspects of the character's history, from the comics, to the movies, to the television series, and beyond, both alone and with the best and brightest of the podcasting world. It may not be every episode, but the bulk of Views in 2013 will be all about the Man of Steel. He is the first and greatest superhero of them all, and he deserves no less.
Superman at 75. The celebration of a legend.
A series within a series, and the biggest birthday card a fan can give his favorite hero, only at Views from the Long Box. Views from the Long Box is a Fortress of Baileytude production. New episodes drop every other Tuesday over at www.viewsfromthelongbox.com, and for this series, over at www.supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
Ready to form Voltron!
I am Batman!
This is a job for Superman!
Power Rangers!
Right away, Michael.
Autobots, transform!
By the power of Grayskull!
For the honor of Grayskull!
Hello. I'm the Doctor.
Charlie's Geekcast. Coming January 1st, 2013 to www.charliesgeekcast.com.
Who's next?
I am Thomas Prontimes from the Absolution Network. It's been 5 years since I've seen you from MetroCon.
Yeah.
I was the, for those who remember, I was the guy, the first year I got to see Greg, I was the annoying guy when he was showing Negi.
So that's funny.
And of course, all the drama that came with MetroCon. So I've been waiting about 4 years to finally get to interview you.
Great. Well, it could finally happen.
And my first question is, you know, let's talk about some anime, and let's talk about the character everybody wants to talk to you about. Okay, can you guess what that character is?
No. I can take a wild guess. I mean, I would say this year it should be Gonta Igarashi from Deadman Wonderland because it was the breakout show on Toonami.
Yeah.
However, if you ask, you know, 14 to 16 year old girls, they're probably going to say one of the Hitachi twins in Oran. But I think it's different for everybody. I think, you know, I think everybody has a different favorite character.
Well, actually, the character. None of those characters. It's probably the best character you ever performed, and that's Taikaya Abe from Big Wind Up.
Abe's a great character. You know, it's really weird. It's hard to say something's my best character. I think shows hit people on a personal level, and it was weird because when we did Dead Man Wonderland, people were like, "Oh, this is the best thing you've ever done. This is far better than Chrono Crusade." I'm like,
"What?
Really? Oh, I don't think so." Like, So I think people, that and that show, that baseball show, really hits people in a different way because there are people that have grown up with baseball. And so I like that Abe is such a mean guy, and he never lets up. We joke about the fact that he never smiles once in the show. And we finally found one instance where he kind of goes, and that's about it. So I love that character because I normally play the Mihachi character. So,
well, it was very different from the characters you usually play. So in that sense, what was your preparation in for that series?
This is going to probably blow the illusion for some people. I hate sports. The passion. So, I'm an individual sports person. I'm a skateboarder. So, you know, like things like skateboarding and, you know, like extreme sports, BMX, things like that. Those are cool to me. But like competitive sports are not my thing. So the funnier thing was me having to learn baseball terminology. Mm-hmm. And like, I guess watching me trying to learn baseball stuff was like watching most people cramming for a medical exam because I was like, it's like, so because, you know, Abe's the guy that knows everything. He's the catcher, and he knows what every player's going to do. He knows the name of every move, every pitch. So that was the hardest for me. But the coolest thing about that is my little nephews all play ball. So that's the coolest thing I've ever done, according to them. You know, Dragon Ball Z, whatever, but big wind-up, oh, yeah, it's a baseball show. So it's kind of cool. But, yeah, I think the hardest thing, the biggest preparation for me was just getting familiar with baseball itself. I mean, obviously I have a fundamental knowledge of how the game works, but, you know, I don't know what the difference between running somebody or walking somebody or all, you know, like, so I was just like, all right, here we go. But that said, I watched the show, and Albie doesn't seem dumb, so I guess if I didn't learn anything, I at least talked the talk pretty well, so, but it was a fun show. It's really sad. I'm really sad we're not dubbing the second season of it, but apparently the sales just weren't what they were supposed to be, so hopefully, I'm hoping the streaming market might change that, you know, like, that shows hope for a lot of shows, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Any questions about Abe?
Well, honestly, you hit it right on the head about it. You know, again, and the other part of the question was probably what was working like with everybody, because you had multiple characters, the third baseman who was, that was me when I was 13 years old, especially talking about what he would talk about.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. That's one of Todd's funniest characters. I think it was fun for me listening to the outfield. Mainly, I'll be honest, my guilty pleasure was listening to Aaron Dismuke, because it's the first show Aaron was allowed to just be himself. You know, everybody, Aaron was the voice of, you know, Alphonse Elric, so poor thing is going to be trapped into that role for the rest of his life. Lucky for him, his voice changed. So somebody's like, do that Alphonse line. He's like, no, I can't. My voice doesn't sound like that. But hearing him in that show is just like hearing Aaron in the studio. Like, when you hear him say something in the show, it's just funny because it's like, there's a show with Aaron in it, you know, the character sounded like Aaron, but really, there's a lot of great standout performances. Like, I think, you know, people always say that show is about Mihachi and Abe, but it's a great team show. There's a lot of great characters in the outfield. Joel McDonald is hysterical. I think Justin Cook steals his show. Justin Cook is the hothead. There's a lot of really great performances in that show, so I really enjoyed doing it. It seems like a long time ago. And that's also a weird show because that's the one I had a big medical emergency, and I had to, that was the show they were waiting on me to recover from to finish the show. So that's the first show I did back after being laid up for a while. So it was kind of cool. That was my first training wheels back in after being in the hospital. So, yeah.
Well, you know, you talked about a couple minutes ago, one of the shows we're about to talk about, which is Nermadaikon Brothers. Mm-hmm. Just an absolute classic, great comedy, where basically you were part of the Blues Brothers.
Yeah,
in this case, it was Blues really Brothers plus one.
Yeah, we say it, the Blues Brothers and Excel Saga had a baby. It would be, you know, Nermadaikon Brothers.
It literally was. It was the big three of ADV at the time, which I think most people considered you, Chris Batten, and Lucy Christian. Just letting loose and tearing the world up.
It was really fun.
So what was your favorite achievement on Nermadaikon Brothers?
It's a really weird silent victory. My brother is the director for that show. And going back as far as when I did theater, There's always this weird worry of nepotism. When you have a brother that's a director or a producer or whatever, there's the stigma that, oh yeah, well, he gave his brother the lead. Well, so when my brother used to direct stage plays and I had to audition, I would only audition when there were public auditions, and I'd walk in, sing the opening song from Jesus Christ Superstar, which is Judas's big, loud number, and I'd walk out. Because I'm like, look, I'll prove to you that I can sing this, that I'm not getting any favors, my brother's not doing me a favor by doing this. And to think that my brother would do that would say, I don't think my brother's a good director. My brother's a fantastic director, and there have been several parts that I wanted that I didn't get. That said, when you work in anime, you get pigeonholed into one type of category, and it's safe to say that for the first 10 years of my career, I never played anybody that had even hit puberty. So, I play little 9-year-old kids. I play little 12-year-old kids, little awkward kids, and I love it. But when this role came up, Chris had a really tough choice to make. The role of Hideki is sung, it was actually in Japan, was sung by a pop singer, a well-known pop singer. The guy has a ridiculously deceptive high voice, and I always say it's the kind of voice that Rod Stewart has. You hear the gravel in Rod Stewart's voice, and you think, man, he's got a low voice. Rod Stewart has got an unbelievably high voice. And that was the problem with casting Hide. You had to have somebody that had that, you know, that foghorn, leghorn, Fred Flintstone sensibility, but could still sing a high C over C, you know, like, could really hit these ridiculous notes. So my brother cast me, and our auditions for that show, I think I had to sing Rock This Town by the Stray Cats, which was funny. So I was like, yeah, I'll go sing a Stray Cats song for an audition. And when he cast me, the producer for the show is like, I'm going to go ahead and pull the rug out from under you. You're not going to be able to use your brother on the show. And he's like, are you kidding me? And he goes, no, I get that you like to see him work and all, but, and he goes, no, dude, I would never do that. And there's this big fight, and he goes, your brother can't do that role. And he goes, where are we going to find an actor that can sing that role? He's like, you have no one here that can sing those notes. And he's like, well, Chris Patton can. He goes, no, Chris Patton is a low tenor. He's like, this is a high tenor. He goes, well, the character has a scratchy voice. And my brother argued. He's like, no, it's just the gravel in his voice. It has nothing to do with how high his voice is. And he goes, well, I mean, your brother just can't handle the talking part of it. And my brother won him over by saying, have you ever heard my little brother hungover? He's like, he sounds like Wolfman Jack. He's like, have you ever heard him on a bad day? He's like, when he's just no voice. And so the funny thing is, I didn't like the direction they pushed me vocally in the show until I heard it with everybody else, until I heard Lucy and Chris and all of us together. I thought it sounded like I was screaming. Lucy hated what she was doing. She thought she sounded like a hillbilly. Chris thought he was whispering. And then when we got all of us together, we're like, oh, that's kind of funny. That works in a weird way. The producer finally came up to me much later, and I never knew this whole controversy had taken place because my brother knew it would upset me, so he didn't make a big deal about it or tell me about it. And the director was like, oh, I gotta apologize to you. And I was like, okay, for what? And he's like, I didn't want you to do this role, and that's not a secret. And I was like, okay. You know, like, that's a weird thing to have somebody say to you. And he went on to tell me the story, and he's like, I was wrong. And he goes, I'll never doubt your brother again. And he's like, you were the right person for this part. So that's the biggest thing to me, is someone not believing I could do something, and then having that person not only believe that I could do it, but felt strongly enough to tell me, like, they were sorry later. That said, it's one of the funniest things I've ever worked on. I think Ghost Stories is the only thing funnier than that. And
yeah, you're Mel Gibson.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and now it was the beginning of a long relationship between my brother and Navashin and myself, and we're all very, very dear friends, and I don't think without that show we would have gotten to be that tight. So it's funny, I just did a show with Navashin that last weekend, and it's safe to say nothing has changed with Navashin in spite of recent health scares. He is the same good old crazy wild Navashin. So
hey there, anime fans, and yes, I am in an actual interview shot today as my computer goes blank. I'm of course your primetime host, Thomas Primetime Metis, and this is another Anime Next interview. I'm here, of course, with Uncle Yo, comedian extraordinaire. How are you today?
I'm grateful to be here.
I can tell you for a fact, Uncle Yo's stand-up, you had a stand-up panel. last night, right?
Last night was Anime One Night Stands, which ends up being rant than ever, but it's a quick guide of the 13 episode anime so you can watch in a single night. So the One Night Stand is a very misleading title, mainly because the first time that we did it was at Otakon, and they looked at the title and said, oh, it's not 18 plus, we'll put it against all the 18 plus stuff. So mistakenly, the name makes people think that we're going to do a hentai panel, but it's just, it shows, like, Shikofumi, Furikuri, Madoka, the shows with 13 or less episodes you can watch in a single night. So all the people who piled in were simply there because they couldn't get into the hentai panels that they want. So we loved having the entire audience filled with reluctant hentai spillover.
Wow, that's really dirty. I love you already.
Yeah. I just love coining the term hentai spillover because that is something that could be both greasy and sticky.
Right now, Gene and Chris are going, oh, no. No,
yeah,
no,
I heard
no,
that.
No. Why, Thomas, why? But, no, it was, I looked at the line. The line was from the panel room through that hall all the way down to the photo shoot here. That's how long the line was, like, my God.
We gotta find a way to coordinate the lines better, because it's like cholesterol in a really, it's like a hallway of capillaries at this point.
Yep.
No one can get anywhere.
Well, the first question I'm gonna ask you is, being that anime is, you know, again, the primary focus, you're covering all of anime, what is the hardest part about doing comedy based off anime?
I've always been struggling with this bad boy. If I could contextualize this, I think I would find a way to just streamline my bits and be able to attack it better. I'm not the first person to try anime stand-up. Maybe I'm the first to try it on a longer scale. Like, actually, I thought it was ridiculous to actually ask for a panel just by myself, because it takes comedians years to just get a solid 3 to 5 minutes that represents them. And I'm much more long base, rant base, because I grew up on George Carlin, that's my guy. So I'm used to thinking bits are more, you play with an idea and you sculpt it out, you work on it more like it's a monologue. The hardest part about doing anime is knowing that no matter what jokes you go for, you are competing with the rest of the internet. In the 5 years, five, 6 years I've been doing this, nothing has been more violently first come first serve than the internet jokes. Like, yeah, when Attack on I've been following Attack on Titan. While I love that anime, moment I jump on Facebook, here come the memes. Well, can't do any of these jokes. What can I do that hasn't been done? And the answer is really nothing. I completely understand that there must be somewhere out there. See, in the old generation, it used to be, oh, great minds think alike. Now that's become Simpsons did it. Which was great, because they had that South Park episode on yesterday, and all I could think of was, oh, you are my career. Oh, Dr. Horrible. No, Professor Chaos, why?
I've copied, parodied, and done more stuff that people have said already done. That's been my stick for 6 years, because isn't really the truth of the matter is it's not a matter of it has been done before, it's the performance.
What if you actually presented it well? Yeah. How about that?
Exactly.
I mean, if you got the laugh, and you were ignorant to the part that did it before, you still got the laugh. And if someone wants to correct you, that's good for them. That's what YouTube comments are for people to pretend to care.
Yeah, pretend is, I think, the key word.
Yeah,
there.
I started walking around with little note cards that read a rat's ass, a damn, a flying, what have you, and I hand those to people that I'm too tired to talk to. I give this to you. Bye. Yes.
Well, you know, you mentioned one of them before, so we'll talk a little bit about him. But so the next question is, in regards to George Carlin being one of your inspirations, what are the certain things, certain bits and sort of stand-ups of George Carlin that influence you the most? And what are your other inspirations to comedy?
The one for him that sticks with me is, I got into an argument this morning with my Rice Krispies. I'm not sure which one of the little bastards said it. I wasn't looking into the bowl directly at the time, but I distinctly heard snap, crackle, screw you, Whitey. He then goes into how the rest of the morning has to be spent spiting and punishing the disrespectful Rice Krispies. Hit him with a spoon, and they come back over. This is a guy who could have come up and said, you ever notice how you press down a Rice Krispie and they come up around the side? You can't drown them. His idea is, what does it take to crush their spirit, to stop them from coming up against you? The fact that he did that, and the fact that he played with so much wordplay, or he would just have gigantic running lists. Here's a list of diseases that don't have practices or runs or wristbands, and maybe they should. Arm hurts, leg hurts, herpes. And it's 3 pages long in a book of just random things that can happen to you.
My favorite is, I'll write that one, airport safety rules. I play that over on YouTube. And of course, the difference between football and baseball is a classic. What?
Difference between things. They're waiting for it. Anyone under the age of 24 needs to know this.
You know, football is a gridiron sport. It is driven down the field militarily into an end zone played in the stadium or a gridiron. Football, baseball, the object is to go home. Go home and be sick. I can't pick it off the top of my brain. I brewage.
Go home and be safe. Carlin worked for me because he was questioning language the same way that I was. I asked my mother one day, why is it that something can shrivel up and swell up and they're going two opposite directions but they're both going up? Yeah. Her response was, shut up. So, but the thing was, that didn't answer my question. My problem was, I'm the little prince. I ask a question until I get the answer that I want to hear.
Yeah.
So you just keep going with that one.
And then your other comedic influences.
Rita Rutner, early days, had incredible timing and really worked with me. There was a key summer when I was like 12, 13 years old. I didn't know anyone in the neighborhood, so I simply stayed up watching as much early Comedy Central as possible, which it was a lot like the internet right now. There's 10% of awesome, and then the other 90% of, well, at least Dr. Katz is animated by Muhammad Ali, but at least it's animated. I've got a half an hour before Bruno the Kid comes on, and then actual cartoons. I got to kill an hour and a half before Extreme Ghostbusters is on, so what do I do then? It was more incidental bits who I think is fascinating. There are great comedians today who, they become mega celebrities because of their work in the underground. Of course, Patton Oswalt, people like Eugene Merman, Brian Posehn, that whole sort of A-list that only became the A-list because they were willing to challenge and tackle standards of comedy and how they wanted to approach things. I think Maria Bamford is one of the most scarily honest people out there because she simply talks about her working through her obsessive compulsive disorder. And as nutty and crazy as her voices are, you realize this is the only way she can function and tell us what her anxieties are. Yeah. And I love the honesty behind that.
Yeah. Well, would you also say maybe a little bit of D.L. Hughley? Because, you know, one of your bits that you do is you do look at the cosplay and sort of make fun of it, which to me, that screams D.L. Hughley. Because that's
something. Never listened to Hughley.
You've never listened to Hughley?
Yep. There are many key people that I've never. That I think I've almost been defined by being outside of the mainstream. Like, I never saw a Quentin Tarantino movie until I was 25, and the girl I was dating at the time said, you have to watch this to be an American. And I said, screw you, you have to watch Back to the Future, or I can't sleep with you anymore.
I mean, well,
neither happened. Yeah.
If you get a chance, do watch it, because that's what he does at the end of his bits, is he goes in the audience, and he'll pick on that, like, look at that woman, she's got a Jerry curl, a pick a weave, and a little curl, all in one. Which,
When we saw Louis C.K., who is the new form and norm now, and thank goodness for it, when we saw him live, so his opening act bombed, because he was clearly the only black guy in the square block, even within the theater, so he gets off. Louis storms out on stage, it's 7:07, sit your ass down, you! What is wrong with you? I had a cab. Screw you! All of these people sitting down is proof that you are an idiot! Say 7 o'clock in the panel, 7 o'clock in your program, what? He just started attacking. He just decided to point at whoever was standing, wave, rubbing their ass in someone's face, and then he started his bit. When I last saw him live, he came on after Sir Elton John did an open. Sir Elton John comes on. He's an opening act. And he does Hold Me Closer, Tiny. No, he does, I guess that's why they call it the blues. Greatest painful love stories of all time. They're all talking during it. Louis C.K. stands up there. Oh, yeah, you're going to shut up for me while you just spoke through 7 minutes of Elton John. Really? Yes. You just have to be fearless at some point.
Oh, absolutely. So, in regards to doing comedy, what's maybe one of the biggest laughs you got?
The biggest of recent memory, I recently resurrected the Manga Moticons at Anime Next I think one of my last Anime Next I was here, which I have the Intensity lines for Shonen, which is a anime geared toward teenage boys, and then the eye sparkles for anything shoujo girly. And I was going back and I was playing with it back and forth, and it nailed it of Darth Vader intense, Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker, Twilight, actual bleeping vampires. And this was right when the internet attacked Twilight, just sank their teeth into it,
yeah,
and went at it the way actual vampires are supposed to. They love that. But the most surprising big laughs that I'm getting now are when I'm doing something with my girlfriend who is shorter than me. She's adorable. Everyone thinks that she's still 16, just this quiet little innocent thing in a Lolita, but she tacks on the most inappropriate endings to something. So if I'm running off on a sentence and I just end it, if I end it with anything remotely weird or innuendo, she will go for it as soon as I'm done talking about it. What was the panel or the event? I eventually end it with something like, and then you shove them in the tub, waterboard them if need be, shove them back out in the hallway, and let them figure it out for themselves. Well, that went weird, and then Kat says, and that's how we met.
Bravo. What bits that you do are your favorite?
What's hardest is I don't think I can continue doing a bit for more than 6 or 7 months. A, because it's probably already been memed out to death. It's probably no longer popular. And this is the hardest part that I have about trying to be an in-the-moment niche-specific, let alone anime-specific comedian. I can still do some DBZ or some Sailor Moon bits, which I appreciate, but I'm never doing a bit more than 6 or 9 months, because the references either have to be rewritten or rechanged, which means I'm really playing a Mad Lib at that point, which where's the skill intact in that? So I'm spending the next year, I've told myself I want to do more generic geek stand-up that is more the geek's role in society or the passionate, closed-off individual trying to communicate with the rest of the world that both force to see each other as the invading idiot. The bits that I absolutely love on George Carlin's last CD, Life is Worth Losing, the one that I had basically committed to memory, he had done I'm a Modern Man, a Man for the Millennium, Digital and Smoke-Free, a Diversified Multiple, I am an alpha male on beta blockers, I have a love child that sends me hate mail. This huge contradicting rant of what it means to be modern America. So I had done that, but the way to gauge the audience was, like, I outran Speed Racer while Astro Boy chased her, just for the record of Lodoss War, and I listened for whatever woos or screams out, because anime fans will tell you what they want you to talk about. They will tell that right back to you. So if you can play with that, like, I'm trying to work on I'm going to be experimenting with a bit later today about how Pokemon is like dating. we'll play with it.
Dating in the sense of the way the Mormons do?
It's much more based on... Yeah, I'm not ambidextrous. I'm a polygamous masturbator. That's the better form for it.
Yeah.
The metaphor for Pokemon is going to be much more. You start dating. Everyone has like one little thing, which is oh no, something weird with her hair. Oh, she's got a really repressive dad. Doesn't have a car. Okay. But then as you get older, people just have way more problems around their belt, and you just think, all right, here we go. That tattoo is ancient. Okay, here's it going. I'm not sure what that scar is. Oh, there's a kid in the back seat. And then some people are like Ash with Pikachu, just like wearing their narcissism on their shoulder. Like, can you put that away while we talk about it? No, he won't like that. He does not go in the ball. You have to deal with him if you want to deal with me. We'll play with that. We'll see. I don't know. We have to talk it out and take our time with that. And I love having hour-long slots because I can play with, I can take my time with something. Some cases I'm better talking and thinking on my feet, but in other cases I can take up the whole hour, which I don't want to, because I do want time afterward to shake hands, thank people for coming, make that key eye contact that thanks them.
Well, I mean, final question is, do you see yourself as a pioneer for both anime comedians and internet comedians?
Nope.
Bye, folks. Good night.
I think anyone on the internet doing comedy is taking advantage of the time, and that everyone has the chance now to get their voices out. But it's like a flashlight at high noon. Mm-hmm. Where's everyone going to be looking if there's light all over the place? if you are smart enough and you can garner and cater and take care of and support and have an open communication with a small group of fans, and they really care about what you're doing, and you're speaking to them in a way that they wish they could communicate to other people, so instead they pass your work to other people. You do the Amanda Palmer circuit. You rely on them in such a weird hobo-like way that they love and appreciate you and see you as an extended member of their family. So the hope is when you try for other projects, it can kind of spread out that way. But I cheat as a comedian. I'm fully aware that I cheat as a comedian because my audience is dressed as what they want me to talk about. My audience comes ready to talk about what I'm willing to talk about. I go to an anime convention because these are the people I can communicate with better. I'm so much happier talking with a group of kids about Adventure Time than I ever am sitting down at a job interview or needing to talk to someone as a manager of a restaurant or needing to talk to my landlord or needing to talk to one of my sisters. It's so much easier, and I do it because I love it. I love the scene. I love the group. It's the things that I want to talk about. Pioneering, if anything, I simply ran to my close my safety corner. The conventions are really safe zones for me to talk about what I want to and how I want to talk about it. But the only thing that I've seen that's kept me going, as well as other great guys out there like Plus Two Comedy, is that I approach it all from a positive standpoint. I've seen a lot of startup comedians start up with, what's this anime stuff? I mean, what the hell? Versus, but this is why we love it. This is why this thing is so neat. If I approach everything from a positive and a curious standpoint, everyone else stays with you on the page, as opposed to setting up a wall of, you guys are weird, as opposed to, we own this room now. We're safe here. Have fun, damn it.
So, being Seinfeld, the anime comedian, doesn't work. What you're saying.
It never will. I can't do an open mic and for 5 minutes start up with, you guys think the Pokemon world has sex offenders? Because they'll laugh because they heard the Pokemon, but then I'm just like, that's just an episode of the Big Bang Theory, which will never work.
Well, Uncle Yev, thank you for spending some time with us.
My pleasure.
For us and with us, because I don't speak English. I don't know if you've heard that. I can't tell a gridiron from a diamond.
I was going to say your Swahili needs work.
Uh-huh, yeah. That too. I would go there, but we're a PG-13 show. Makes things funny, doesn't it?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
It's my absolute pleasure for stepping in.
Thank you. And guys, we'll be back with another interview. And welcome back. And I hope you guys enjoyed the interviews. They were so much fun to do. Again, like I said, I wish I would have had the audio for the Sayo Yamamoto. I apologize once again for my recorder being an ass. Yeah, I'm yelling at my recorder like it's gonna, you know, cower and feel guilty like a bad Jewish boy, which I know something about being. But enough about my childhood in the church. Anyways, but yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I had no way to segue from that, but overall for this convention, like I think I mentioned it before, this is one of the best conventions I think I've ever been to. Yeah, were there some stuff that happened, things that made it tough, you know, running around everywhere? Absolutely. But you know what? It was always fun. It never felt like a burden. If I was a burden at all to some of the staff, I sincerely apologize. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was just fun to be there, fun to take pictures, fun to meet everybody. I wish I probably would have spent more time maybe going to get-togethers and just meeting with people. That's probably going to be my goal for next year, is just to, you know, sort of sit down. You know, because there were some excellent people there. One of the things you're going to see with the photo shoot is I actually got to, you know, check out a photo shoot and take some pictures. There was a girl there. She was Boma, like older Boma, on Friday, and she told me she was going to be Frollo from Hunchback of Notre Dame, and she had a Esmeralda with her. And they were great as Frollo and Esmeralda, but I got to hang out with them. They were excellent cosplayers. Their cosplay was excellent. you know, got to hang out with them, have, you know, have some discussions with them and some other people, and I just wish I would have done more of that. You know, again, I talk about that line with the cosplay burlesque, you know, for 30 minutes, certain tale what happened about, I spent about 30 minutes in that line as it was slowly moving forward and just hanging out with these people. It's like, and just having fun, like everything was happening, and one of the guys was a Joker in an orange jumpsuit cosplay. And then all of a sudden somebody comes, is there anybody by themselves? And I'm like, I'm that guy. Come with me. We have one seat for you. So I kind of got to jump to the front of the line. Just like, I'm sorry. There was, because they had like one seat they needed to fill in the middle, apparently. I was that guy. I will say this, by the way. One thing, to the few times I was able to get it, I thank those. I constantly was trying to get a Fandangoing to go. I know, because they were doing like different chants. I was going, da 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 da. To really no success, except maybe one or two times during the convention. But the big thing I did get to do was, again, back to that awesome Toonami panel, you know, I did get a yes chant going. So, Daniel Bryan, your check is in the mail. But all in all and through, it was just an absolutely excellent convention. I've never had maybe a more funner time in my life than a couple of other conventions I got to go to. And it was just absolutely incredible. The cosplay was grand and everything. And considering so many things were conspiring against the convention, it was just absolutely incredible. And I just can't wait to go back next year. If I'm still in this area, I am going to find a way by hell or high water to go back. So, if you guys didn't go this year, do everything you can to go to Anime Next 2013. Next year, or let's just say Anime Next 2014 next year. The convention gets a 4.5 out of 5 from me. And that's it for this episode, or this special episode here on the Absolution Network. Of course, remember to check out all the other 132 productions. Projects, that, especially the ones that I do, of course. But of course, this of course means Gene and Chris and the Shaft Plus podcast. Of course, they're going to have soon have their E3 special. Of course, I'm going to have something on E3 hopefully out in the next couple of days. Because oh my God, Sony walked up to Microsoft and knocked them the F out. As of this recording, there are some other stories. We don't have time. We'll talk about it later. But, you know, you have that, and of course you have all my other podcasts. You have the, of course, right here, the Absolution Network, which, of course, my other podcast, Tom's Prerogative, and the Otaku Momentum, which now has their Anime Boston stuff out. Of course, remember, you can always find this website at www.an.132productions.com. And, of course, if you have any comments of any kind about the convention or anything, or the pictures I show or anything, and you want to email me, you remember you can email me at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. That's absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. And of course, you can always find the Absolution Network on Facebook, which you can find by going to Facebook and searching for the Absolution Network. Find us there and like our page and follow us there. Of course, also check out my other stuff, Tokyo SOS, a Godzilla podcast. You can, of course, find that at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And, of course, the Comic Book Crazy podcast and the network which features Hexcast, the only podcast that reviews Tarot, which is the Black Rose. And, of course, Comic Book Crazy podcast. You can find that at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. And, of course, while you're on the site, or sites, I should say, check out all of our friends on the sidebar. That includes Michael Bailey and Fuse from the Long Box, Brad Douglas and the soon-to-be-returning brand-new Spider-Man Crawlspace, Steven Schleicher's Major Spoilers Podcast, and of course, Scott Gardner's Two True Freaks, and many others that you can find. So that is it for this Absolution Network Convention Special for Anime Next 2013. There's more fun from Anime Next 2013 still to come in the coming days. But until next time, my Toonami generation, stay golden.
Desert. Hope you enjoyed it. This is Tom signing off. And until we meet again, you know the rest.